Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View Podcast, episode number 114. The wheat is being sorted from the chaff as the county championship group stages have now been concluded. We have preliminary quarterfinal draws as well to feast over in the coming hour. But first, we need to look back at the weekend and what was another cracking weekend for these county championships that keep on giving. Where else to start but with Turles Arsenal's announcing their arrival onto the championship scene with a resounding win over Barnsley, who now go out of the competition. Sean Smith, it was live on TG O'Cahir. Is that Turles number one in the power rankings now? Can he dislodge Nina?
Dislodge Nina, we're doing well. Dislodge tuned where they're going at the moment. They're and they're smiling at me, but I'm pressed for performance.
I've ended Tracy here and Stephen as well as Sean on with me there now, so lads can fight it out over the power rankings.
I know I'm pressing up fixture in the second half, pulled away nicely. But maybe kind of something game on TG4. There's a few comments there that's a bit loose and scrappy, but we just kind of powered on, got the win we wanted. Came second in the group, but for as we talk about later, we drew a primary quarter final against Nina, so we're probably better off not winning it and, you know, draw another team that may have been an easier game, but sure, that's another day to talk about. But good win. Dar Seglum, man the match, 6 points in play. Some of his skill was excellent. Hit the crossbar, a goal down the Clyne end as well. Like, if that would have been a cracking goal. Off the bench then, we Shawnee Butler, came off the bench there. 1-1, you know, another player to put his hand up for next day. I know Purcell, who was away there for the last two games, came back off the bench well with a point. So, like, Bursley kind of faded at the end when scoring the 1-11. Pinned a lot on Eddie Ryan again. I think there were only 4 or 5 scores in the game against. So, like, it's hard to know where Burs are at this year. The group the way they had through a lead against Kildangan and then came back and robbed it at the end, they say. So it's hard to know, like every day teams go out and play different, but like with the championship on the line to kind of fade away in the second half, which but then again we didn't really let Hurley or like Rowan there at the backs and our back line were solid, but of course we might be disappointed now with that result on Sunday.
They never really, that second half in particular, they never really got going. That's their second year in a row now that they've had arguably a tough county championship group, but they're out now again after 3 games.
Yeah, they're struggling big time. Do you know, a lot of the success they had winning the county and getting to the All-Ireland was, you know, they probably don't want to hear it, but it was based a lot on the prowess of Brendan and Dan, just in their pomp, and just a few other lads maybe picking up a little bit of the work ethic. And it was basically Dan winning frees and Brendan hitting them that won him a county. I know that sounds simplistic, but that
they're
was the
really
bulk of it.
Going back in, aren't they? Or maybe they came from nowhere, you could say, as well, to win that county. So maybe they're just kind of reverting to the mean.
Yeah, and in fairness, like they're missing Niall Kenny this year. No, he's not that big a loss that maybe it would have made that much of a difference, but kind of their game would have been built around hitting the two Kennys with a lot of high ball and, you know, just hard work rate. And to be honest with you, they're very thin on the ground. Burris have been producing a lot of good underage hurlers, none more so than Paddy McCormick coming through this year. But once you go to 16-17, as is the case with a lot of clubs, but Burris this year just seemed after 16 or 17, they were just going too far into the junior team and the quality wasn't there. And when key players aren't playing well, the whole campaign, they've only really played a good half of hurling, and that was against Kildangan in the first half. Very poor in the second half. The game against Clonalty, they were very poor. And they were very poor against Turles for the whole game. So even though they were on 3 points going into the Turles game, couldn't really say that they deserved to go through, you know?
And I was impressed, I suppose, Sean, with how, I don't know if it was how physical Sars were or just how light Barcelona were. Like, you know, like Eddie Ryan, maybe James Devaney, were just, they kind of struggled a bit with the kind of physicality that Sars brought, which isn't something you might not always associate with Sars in recent years.
Yeah, we're kind of working on that kind of strength of getting tackle in, winning the turnovers, even our forwards. Some of our, I suppose, it looks like lighter lads were hitting hits there now the other day, and they were kind of turning over the ball. But like as you mentioned there, Burris over here, they could have had bigger lads in the forward line. Even they weren't even hitting the ball into the full forward line in the end. They're trying to play it through lines, and our half back line was kind of dominant and breaking that down. And we've worked on kind of finishing the game strong, which we've had done this year, like the Brackens, the Canola games, and like that second half against Burris, you know, just kind of trying to get the bench then in. But like, have to go another day now and do it all again, because this championship is throwing up results that are, that could happen any game, so we can't call that.
We might talk about Sars again in a little while, because we have that preliminary quarter final draw now, and you won't be kind of resting on your laurels too long, having been drawn against Nina. So we'll do the preview piece maybe after this. But the other, I suppose, Kildangan go through group winners in that group with a quite comprehensive win over Clonalty. And then again, Clonalty, again, they have that preliminary quarter final against Mullinahone, but Jesus, you know, they're, how do you rate their season so far?
All over the place, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be a strange situation for them going back training this week, and you know, they're still in the championship, but then they get knocked out. They'll have the relegation to contend with, so.
And again, it's Stephen, the horn for them is a winning one, but are they only prolonging the inevitable now? You know, kind of getting to quarterfinal and maybe playing a group winner then and going out.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not going to write one horn off going into this game either.
Both of them will fancy it.
Yeah, we wrote them off at the start of the season. Well, you know, I think we fairly tipped them. We tipped them fairly to be finishing bottom of the group, but they've come out and proved everyone wrong, and, you know, beating Nina at the weekend was some other big boost for them. And they'll fancy going in against a kind of a raggedy, I don't mean that they're a raggedy team, Clonalty. I mean, the results and the performance this year just hasn't been, they haven't been fluid, they haven't been going well. Whereas Mullinahone have been performing. And, you know, I know the Drummond Inch game, you know, they conceded a few goals there, but they are going well, so they'll fancy that big time. And, you know, Clonalty then, if they lose, or even if they win, they go on, they still have that relegation battle looming over their shoulder. And it's just going to make for a strange preparation, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Kildangan and your North Boyos doing their business quietly enough in the end.
Yeah, it's starting to get to that stage now where you're starting to worry as one of the rival teams that they're starting to get into gear. You know, started the year slowly in the north and just are gradually building. I know they were edgy enough against Burris, obviously a very poor first half, but when they turned it on the second half, it was scary enough. And look, they put away Clonalty without having to get out of second or third gear. Like it kind of always had them at arm's length. And just they're a quality team. Like I'd have them as the favourites at the moment. They're probably just separated from the rest of the teams in the quarterfinals a little bit. They're probably just above everyone else. Just when they're on it, they've some set of forwards, some just a quality squad. And when I was talking about Burris, they've only 16 or 17. Kildangan can dip down into 22, 23, 24 players that are of a similar standard. And, you know, it's a big benefit in the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but they do have that, again, that bit of hot and cold about them, maybe, that they don't have that aura, maybe, that other, I suppose some teams might have you know, I take your point, but you still feel that, you know, on any given day, you can upset them. And I suppose one of the teams that will be looking to do that will be your own Tuamavara, who if Stephen was a bit unkind to our South compatriots Mulnahone early on in the year, and I might have been with him, I didn't really fancy Tuamavara. I thought, you know, tricky enough group at the start of the year. But, you know, they've, again, another team straight into that quarterfinal now. Such an advantage when you see that quarterfinals draw. They might not be number one or number two in the power rankings, but they're no lower than number three, I'd say now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what I mean. Like, after Kildangan, I'd say you could, you know, throw your hat into the ring and pick out any team that could be getting to a semi-final. Look, at the start of the year, looking at that group, I'd say this is the third year in a row we've got a good group. And to be having any chance of winning the county, we had to win that group, I think. You know, we've been flirting with getting out of a quarter final and moving on a bit over the last few years, but we haven't had the consistency. And it's the first time in a long time that we've played three championship matches in a row and played well. I wouldn't say we played fully to our potential, but we've played very well in all the games and we've had to dig deep. In every game, bar the Killarwan game, where I thought we should have actually won that by more, we won by 10, but we could have won by more at the time. But, you know, it's only going to be positive. Our key players are playing well, and, you know, if they can stay doing that, it could take us far. But in terms of Kildangan, I can't remember the last time. I think the last time we beat Kildangan in championship was 2011 in a North final. And Jesus, they've beaten us some amount of time since. So I'm hoping to avoid Kildangan at all costs, to be honest.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, your vote after winning, so you can meet him now to the semi-final at the earliest. You know, again, and, you know, there'll be at least, with Sarsfields on, there'll be at least one doozy of a quarter-final as well, not writing off Nina. But the other team in that group, Roscrea, I was at last 10 minutes against Toome, I was a little bit disappointed with Ross, maybe last 15. It was just pure route one, dump the ball in without any plan. They were making heroes of the Toome defenders. I thought that if they kind of had a bit more composure about them, they could have, you know, they could have got something a bit more from that game.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. They started the game fairly. They were looking to nullify Darren McCarty and Jack Delaney for the start of the game. Yeah, Idar O'Connor was basically a sweeper for most of the game. And in fairness to him, he cleaned up ball in the first half. So it was actually the polar opposite in the first half, where we were lumping down high ball on top of Colin Canning, but Idar O'Connor was absolutely mopping up ball. Jeez, he must have caught three or four clean balls during the first half. And Ross Gray, look, they're a fair fit team this year. I can't get over how fit they are. They stay going the whole match. And I even said that against when they played Killarwan, even when they were winning towards the end, they were still travelling with the ball and sticking to the game plan. And they're incredibly fit this year. Probably lacking a bit of scoring power. I know Alan Tynan got the goal in the first half, but Robbie Cork kept him fairly quiet. And they're really missing that heavy scoring forward, Shane Fletcher. He can be hit and miss. He was quiet enough the other day as well after scoring 2-3 today against Killarwan in the round two. So look, they're in bonus territory now. Their goal would have been to get out of the group. And to be honest with you, I have a bit of a grow for Ross Gray. I think they're a good club. Like, they're always producing players underage. And they've been knocking on the door at senior level for the last few years without a lot of success. So good to see him getting out of the group. Obviously I was delighted to beat them at the weekend, but coming down the last 10 minutes, they were probably happy enough to just tip over the points to knock down the score difference, make sure they got into second place. So,
yeah, and look, they're going to have a tough one. They're looking at, again, Drum, Lochmore, Kildangan from my mats for a quarter final would be there. Toome have either the two winners of the prelims or Holy Cross. Mm. So there's probably two draws you definitely take there and maybe one to avoid. So, you know, different pathways there for both teams. But as I said, Ross Craig probably in bonus territory now, and you never know.
Yeah, 100%. And sure, that's where they want to be, so they won't mind any draw. They'll have a good crack at anyone who ever comes across them.
Absolutely. I suppose back to that, I suppose just to round up, Stephen, on that drum group, right? That was a dead rubber, but Bracken showed a bit of life there. And then, you know, come with the hour, come with the man again for Mulnahone. Again, it's up in the highlights, I think, with the penalty. But Mulnahone really set out their stall early in that with tearing into Nina, you know, kind of built up a good lead. And I suppose just the red cards came at a crucial stage of the match. I think the lead was whittled back to about 3 points. But again, after Mulnahone, you know, again, full value and a bit of a self-destruct here by Nina, who, you know, maybe earlier than we might have thought. But, like, you know, they're going from carrying all around them North champions into, like, a very difficult preliminary quarterfinal now.
Yeah, and look, I suppose Mulnahone and Nina are probably different contrasts in styles of hurling. Nina, I suppose you could tag them a typical town team wanting to hurl, you know, and wanting to free-flowing hurling, but Mulnahone will absolutely horse it into you. Now, they want to hurl as well, but they have no issue with the physical side of hurling. And you know, they're great to absolutely tear into the game for each other and stick to a game plan. Whatever it is, it's unselfish. It is workmanlike at times, but it's effective. It's, you know, and I suppose with Jake out and a couple of other injuries, I suppose a lot of people would have gave Mulnahone a chance going into this game, you know, and then Nina losing the rag. You know, you see comments on Premier View where Owen Kelly was reffing the game, and you know, we're hearing it in the south with jeers, like, yeah, if he's reffing the game, he's getting away with it. And especially the Black Arden the other day, you know, they love it. They'd relish all that, like, and you know, and Nina now are going to find it tough in the prelims because
there were three straight reds.
Three straight reds. So they're gone. And then Jake is coming off an injury. Will he be ready in time? But they're coming out of a group after losing their, you know, I know they bet JK early in the year, but they're coming off a loss. They didn't qualify out of the group. They won the North, but that was so long ago. And as Ross Craig proved, what's happened in the North doesn't reflect the county.
Well, Nina were different this year, lads, weren't they? You know, they were working hard and all this, you know, we've heard that they were, you know, really kind of
playing. But that was the start of the season. We've seen this with Nina for so long. Start the season, brilliant, flying, like, they're probably going to win the county. I watched them do the same to Sars a few years ago up in the stadium. And the following week then, County Rossmore, or 2 weeks later, County Rossmore devoured them in the county final. What happened at the weekend was not unexpected. And that's aside from the red cards. Even if they didn't get a red card, I'd say
lose the game, but Jesus, make sure you're 15 available from your start, 15 for the next day. Like, I mean, they're really shooting themselves in the foot now.
But that's composure. That's you know, it just all composure left on the day. You know, like the shot that went in on to Owen Kelly as he was going to take the penalty. To get sent off in a situation like that, it's brain dead. What were they going to achieve by one of the greatest hurlers of all time, hurled under all sorts of pressure from, I'd go back at 16 years of age up until now. What did they think they were going to do? Make his knees wobble as he's taking a penalty because they had a few words from going up the pitch? Ridiculous. Like, but to get a sending off in that situation was terrible. And then he got another one afterwards, after getting the first one earlier. You know, they're under big pressure now in the next game, and all the good work they've done in the North Championship looks like to be gone up in smoke, you know, because for a club like Nina, North Championship is not good enough. You know, they have to be doing it, they have to be winning the county.
And look, they're so hard.
I'd caveat that now, I'm obviously not the biggest Nina fan, but they're losing the heads, they probably were lacking that bit of leadership on the field on the day, especially when Tommy got sent off, Mikey Heffernan missing, and Jake. You know, two of their best players, let's be honest, and two of their scoring threats. And they're the leaders on the team, other than Paddy Murphy. And just a young team was left on the pitch. It was a skeleton team, really. And It's hard to understand, Stephen. I know what you're saying, because like, it's not like it was a do or die game and they just lost the heads because they knew they were getting bit. They had the preliminary quarter final there and they knew there was going to be another game no matter what, and there was still it was stupid now. And Kelly's as cute as a fox, lads. I mean, I didn't see it on the stream now, but I'd say Ben West didn't hit him too hard now. Well, not hard enough that he was down on the ground for 5 minutes.
You can sure, Jimmy.
Look, Les, when he got up to get the penalty, kind of hobbled for a minute, and then 5-6 yards later, sprightly, like a 21-year-old jogging up.
What I will say, lads, look at that penalty. That penalty was just excellent. You see so many penalties being missed. Like, Ross Gray fairly sure missed one at the weekend with the game in the Melting Pot versus Tomb as well. Another, like, crucial. And Kelly just stuck it in the corner. Keep a wrong way, like, you just can't be class.
But that's
what I'm saying. That's Owen Kelly going up to take that penalty.
Like the one he stuck in the corner against Ninevs, it broke the net, or against Tomb. Sorry, it broke the net.
Sledge by that day, I'll never forget it. Made a show of himself.
He did a great umpiring job that day, too.
No, lads.
You can't beat that class, that composure, that coolness, and that just the know how to get under a lad's skin. The know how to, if he wants to be an idiot, I'll help him be an idiot. And no, that's what they did. And you know, they're marching on through now with good form. They have no players suspended. Conor Whelan wasn't playing the other day. I think he had a hernia operation maybe, and. If he's back the next day, they're only going to be stronger, you know. So, like, they'd be very confident in the next round.
Impressive from the snit with Jack. It's Jack Shelley's a player manager. Like, it's savage tipping. That's not easy. Like,
they're brilliant.
A few words on Drum, lads. You know, they basically had the weekend off, right? They, you know, concentrate on the football next weekend, but they'll be thereabouts as well. Doc Moore, their business all but done. I suppose a bit of a spanner thrown in the works with the change in the scoring system. We had it all mapped out maybe last week, or we thought we had it all mapped out, and a few secretaries maybe around the county had to double check the rule book. And you know, and that led to Temple Derry got a right get out of jail card there. They're now at a relegation, Upper Church are in relegation. Probably the year never really took off for Upper. That's the biggest story there. What's remaining is Upper Church in relegation, and they're in, you know, that relegation's a bear pit.
Unbelievable. It's nearly more exciting than the quarterfinals when they come up. Like, that's one of those teams going down to Premier Intermediate. You'll be the teams that are in the top three to get out of Premier Intermediate will be desperate to get up because they know there's going to be a big hitter coming down next year.
Yeah, and look, just a little round. You've Clonelty, Upper Church, Kilruan, last year's county champions, and JK Brackens, who might just have found a bit of form in the nick of time and getting a couple of players back. Call that one, lads. You know, the draw there is.
And Brackens were very good. You'd probably say four round three, they were the worst out of the four teams so far in their games. But Paddy Cadell, lads, I've never seen a team to be so different with and without a player. Jesus, they were a completely different team against Drum. And yeah, it's not like Drum went out to throw that match. Like, they still had the bones of a full team out, and they just got fucking blitzed.
He's a spiritual leader there, isn't he?
Ah, he's unbelievable, and he hurls farewell for them. I'd only love if he could translate that to Tip, even half of the influence he brings to games when he's playing with Tip. And it might come yet, but Jesus, he's unreal for them, in fairness.
And didn't Brackens beat Drum last year in the mid-championship? You know, so it's not just an old once-off in the championship game for JK. With Paddy Cadell back there, like, they'll... You know, they have the talisman back. That'll lift the whole team, like, you know, and you know, you'd be a foolish person to be thinking, right, let's hope we get Brackens in the relegation semi-final, because I think any of the four teams, like, this is probably the most exciting relegation final ever.
I'd be a little bit worried for Clonelty there, but then Jesus, Upper Church said they might not have been expecting to be in it, so they'll have to get their heads right as well. And I suppose they'd be maybe the team you feel most for?
I couldn't call it. I genuinely couldn't. Yeah. I think Kilruan are a huge bother as well.
Yeah.
They have three matches now, and you know, they've gradually improved, but Jesus, they're still they're kind of chopping and changing, trying to fill positions and try to get lads into form the whole championship. And it's going to be so cutthroat, lads. I mean, imagine if they got relegated after winning the county final last year. What a disaster it'll be.
Killaran are the team I fear for there as well. Like, they just, they must be deflated. And the thing is now, it's been dragged out with Connaughty, who went one home at 50-50 game. If they win that, it's another delay of when the draw will be. So, like, how do you keep them as motivated? Like, Bracken's that winning the weekend for, like, they're coming into form. They are showing something. You know, that's what they want, like, even though they're over, still going to show something. But, like, Kieran just being the opposite completely.
Yeah, and you could, if Clonaldi got to beat later, Kieran. If Clonaldi got to quarter final, you could be looking at the weekend of 28th of September before these are played, so a full month.
Yeah.
Full month, and you have JK Brackens who are playing football as well. They have competitive football to keep that edge going. You know, and Killaran won't, you know, where are they going to get? They're not going to get challenges anywhere. So they're out in the hurling field training. It's, no matter what you do in training, it's never replicated. You cannot replicate it in the match situation, like, you know. So they're going to have a big few weeks. And if Clonaldy do get over Mullaghone, it's going to make that getting out of that relegation situation a little bit harder for Killaran.
Absolutely. Right, lads, we better move on. I suppose the Premier Intermediate, the Cashel Ballina game was played in Group 1. Mary's versus mine was postponed due to the awful tragedy in Clonmel, and condolences and sympathies from all that think involved in the Premier Group podcast to the families and friends involved there. Absolutely awful stuff. Just like bringing it back to the hurling. Cashel Ballina game, enough to think about here. And I just for getting word as well that whoever does finish second in this group will play Gartnahoo in the preliminary quarter final. So there'll be a lot of games. If it is St. Mary's, Ballina, or mine going through, there'll be a lot of games in a short space of time there. But Cashel, yeah, did, I suppose, what they had to do in the end. But for a long time, Ballina, it was nip and tuck in this game.
Give us the permutations there, Kevin. I'm sure you have them written down there and posted up on the wall for yourself.
Jeez, you have me now. I have them all worked out, but basically Mary's are in a strong position if they beat mine, they're true. In second, but I think they can something like lose by 1 point and still get through. If they lose by five, they're in relegation.
Score difference is 3 and Balnaz is 1, is it?
Balnaz lost us by 3. Ballina lost us by 3 and beat mine by 2. By 5, so that gives them plus 2. Ballina can't go into relegation, is the one thing I worked out anyway. And then mine have it kind of, you know, cut out from. I think they have to win by 5 to go through.
Okay. You'd expect Mary's to win it. Mine have been.
Yeah, but poor. You know, you would be into a very tough preliminary quarter final 4 or 5 days after the Mary's game is set for Clonaldy on Wednesday week under light. So I'm sure that'll be on Clubber as well. So a bit of a bonus there for the.
It's going to be a tough
very
one.
Short turnaround if they can get over it.
Yeah.
You know, especially their seniors, the commercial lads, the lads playing football, they're going to be playing this weekend and they'll be playing midweek in the hurling. And then if they can get over that, they're going to be playing the preliminary quarter final. There's a big 8 days of sport for some of them lads, you know, and it's going to be a tough one. And you'd be thinking whoever comes out of that and into the preliminary quarter final will be at a slightly disadvantage there with the short turnaround.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way the games are going, I suppose, unfortunately. Gartnahoo, again, they drew with Killinall. It wasn't enough for them to get them into the automatic quarterfinal berth behind Laura. Portrow are into the relegation here, but again, I suppose no one will want to be drawn Portrow because they've seemed to be kind of steady in the ship at least. Geez, I was watching flicking on the Clubber. The last kind of play with in the Gartnahoo game, you know, they were 3 points up, they were a man down and last few minutes, but Killinall just reeled them in, kind of had a long range free to draw it. Keeper does a brilliant catch in there and over carries then from on the way out, and you know, just the easiest free the ref will ever give, and then you know, points it blows it up. So look, there are the margins, I suppose.
Yeah, it was actually a good quality game, in fairness. Curtinhoo, they were reduced to 14 men. I'm not sure what the score was. I think they were losing by a point or two. And geez, they went on some run. They scored 6 or 7 points in a row. Started hurting serious stuff, but white line fever there for a finish. And Timmy Dunne will be having nightmares about that. He done well, like he was under pressure to catch the ball from the free, and then just he went mad there for a few minutes. He just, for a few seconds, he just stayed going. He wasn't even been tackled too hard, to be honest.
I think he was just looking for the tackle. If he got tackled, he would have got a free, I'd say.
He was reaching out for it and he took the extra steps, and sure, Kieran O'Dwyer had a handy free, so probably the fair result on the day. Killinall had patches where they were very good as well, and you know, they're only going to improve, like, because they're missing Dean O'Connor, and there's, I don't know what the story is with Bubbles when he's going to be back. I know he was on the bench.
Interesting interview there, like he was saying afterwards, you know, he wanted to come on in or whatever, but then he was saying also he was kind of not fit or whatever. So you know, again, they'll have what, 3 weeks now to a quarter final, so you'd fancy he'll be back fit and fighting for that anyway.
And like, they're in a great position if they can get those lads back firing, like Bubbles.
Again, who has to put the anyway, ball in the county.
He could be the difference between them winning and losing. So I don't know what sort of shape he's in now, lads, but you'd know more. But is he wintered early, or is he?
No, in fairness, he looked through him looking at him on the clubber again. He looks in good trim. So you know, he knows. I said that county's, like, they have a great chance this year. Killinall seem to be, again, a bit of a different animal. It's easier to say when they're winning games and stuff. Feels like Nina early in the year, they're different this year and they have it all together. But like, they look, again, when you put Bubbles back, it gives them so many more options in the forwards, which could be key, right? Laura are playing very well as well. Stephen, Swan, go through as group winners.
Unbelievable, great turnaround from considering the first day how they threw away a 5-point lead to be lucky to draw with Sean Tracy's. But what made this result even bigger for me was the missing Dean Waters through injury, an unfortunate knee injury again. He's a huge player for him. He's a huge player. If you look at scoring stats, you mightn't see his name a whole heap, but what he does for the rest of the forwards and for the team in general is just, it's invaluable. And they were missing two other young fellas, I think. So, you know, they're patched up basically, but they went up to win a game, and you know, they did their job.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They got a good win. You know, I can't remember what the winning margin was at the end, but it was somewhat comfortable enough, like, and probably wouldn't have been expected, or Air Ogan, the situation they were in, probably wouldn't have been expected at the start of the year. But the danger of a team coming down is if any little bit of complacency sets in where you think, look, we'll go back up, or we'll be thereabouts ready to go back up, you get some kick in the hole there. Because if you're at the bottom rung of the Dan Breen, the teams that are looking to go up, they're not too far away from that level. Ross Cray proved it last year. And it could be a tough few years for Aero, but the Swan winning, that's just going to give them huge confidence. You know, especially be down to a couple of players, as I said. They'll have young O'Halloran back now from a broken leg. He'll be back now. He's be back training. So is it two or 3 weeks before the next game? That'll get loads of game into his into him or loads of training into him, and he'll be an addition to them as well. So they'll fancy, you know, their manager Jerry, I'd know him well. His goal at the start of the year was win the group, get up to
yeah, they were very much focused, I think, on the county. Maybe the Swan would traditionally focus on the south as well, but they were very much, I think, change of focus this year.
Yeah, yeah. We see how that worked out from last year. Yeah, we see how it worked out from last year. Like, they won the south, but had a terrible time in up the county and were involved in a relegation battle. Look, they would have been delighted to win the south again this year, but the focus and the goal this year was win the group. They went out and they did it, and they're in the county quarterfinal now. And I don't think there's too many teams going to want to be meeting them in a knockout championship match in the county stages.
We'll come to Sarah's in a second. Sarah's B. You know, the good win over Tracy's, but like again, West Tip lads, you've got an LT in party relegation. Tracy's are in relegation. Aero came down from Dan Breen, didn't raise a gallop in Premier Intermediate. Like
Arvale are in intermediate relegation.
Yeah, Golden scrape. You know, Cap White are flying it. In fairness, Golden scraped the Premier Quarter, but
Cashel are
going all right. But are the alarm bells ringing for the division?
Or seems like there's maybe a shift in power dynamic in the division. You know, Clonalty traditionally, obviously, are the big club there, and you know, Aero going back to them, they're a team at the end of their life cycle. Like they were, you probably have to say they're punching above their weight for the last decade or so. They just had a really good crop of players there that came along together, and they're all coming towards, you know, the latter stages of their career, and it's just starting to peter out from a bit, and they're not producing enough players to be able to keep them afloat. And Clonalty, like, they're just missing forwards, I think, aren't they? Like, they've good players peppered from the backs up to midfield, but you know, they're trying to convert Robert Dyle and Danny Slattery into scoring forwards, and very reliant on Cathal Burke to get the scores there. What would the average be? They scored 113 against Burrs the first day. What did they score? 117 against Cyrus, Sean, was it? And what did they score the last day? 18 points, was it? Or no?
Yeah, and they rallied later on in that one as well.
17 points. So, really struggling for scores. Like, if you're not breaching 20 points in the senior championship, you're not going to win matches.
Like, Cathal Burke is scoring. Even against something, Cathal Burke by everything in the second half. There's no other outlet, really. No, that was kind of what killed him, to be honest.
Yeah, you need to be able to get scores. And it's a bit of a farce as well, the way, like, the divisions, like, we all want them to be kept. Well, I assume we all do. I do anyway, but... Mm. Like that, well, have they won 10 Wests in a row? Like, it's a bit ridiculous that they're always have that backup of a preliminary quarter final, and maybe it doesn't help them either. But to have that safety net, like, it maybe it can take away some of the intensity that they go into the games with. Like, for most clubs, I know for a lot of the North clubs, they're going all out because it's so hard to win a division in the North, whereas in the West, like, they have to be even back up training to be going winning championships.
You know, like, the way Cashel are going underage and that, like, a couple of years, they'll be up there competing with Clonalty. So, like, you'll have a good championship then. But, yeah, you're right. But at the moment, it might have blunted their performances in the county. But look, they are where they are. Sean, I suppose, another very solid year so far for Sars B. I think Tommy Marr was got 5 points at the weekend, or...
Yeah, another great game for Tommy. Play and freeze and shooting from midfield, even some of the points were a quick line ball into me, quick shout for Norda Bar, but... This is a strange game. And like, when you see the two full-time scores, I'm kind of wondering how are both games so level up until probably half-time. Like, Aero, we're trying to follow both games there. And like, John Shea's done a great job with the updates from Aero's game. And like, Aero got a pint up around half-time. Like, they had 9 points to board. Swans on five. And we were thinking, you know, this is going to come down to keeping an eye on both games. But then Swans is now blitzed in the second half. Aero really scored 6 points. At halftime, we went in 9-0 about phrases. It's tit for tat balance in the first half. No real goal chances. Jack Lanigan scores, time out, Lee McCormack, Mossy. But like, then freeze from each team as well. You know, it was kind of a sloppy game at times. But we came out in the second half, and like what our seniors, we just kind of had dominated the second half. Went up, scored 19 points there. And like, last puck of the game, Sean Trace got the goal to make it 1-13. So we're kind of comfortably a 5 point lead from probably 10 minutes into the second half. Michael Cahill in the half back line was excellent with Aidan McCormack. You know, he just could read the game. That's, we dropped down to that level, his awareness of the young lads around him, and no, just physically know what to do on the field was great in that kind of situation, especially in the second half to get home. When we heard Swans were winning comfortably, I know that was nice, so kind of to know that as well, and that second place there could be secured there. So it's great to have that group. When we looked at the group and saw a team coming out for senior and playing the first day, like, these could be off to lose here straight away, and then you're going into Swans, who are never get better. It's always tit for tat with Swans and Trace then as well. So it's delighted to have the group, and you know, it'll bring on them young lads, and like, hopefully we won't lose too many of them senior A, a few more. Don't even lose that in the weekend, actually. So we should have seen team again, but now we're up against a winner of a group there, so it's up the game again.
Again, don't come on this, but you get one of Cashel, Burgess, or Laura in the quarter final now. So, if I'm right there, so again,
I will take any glory.
Again, the last group there, we haven't spoke about Burgess there. Burgess, Clonakenny. Again, the real drama here was, I suppose, in the relegation quarter final, as it almost was. Actually, I don't know, was it still a relegation quarter final with the way the score difference kind of was taking that Newport? Maybe they did have a better chance of going through. But anyway, they did a bit of a Newport in this one, and they, you know, they coming down the straight, they threw away a 2-point lead, and Jason Ford, I think a 21 yard free back of the net. Silver Mines were very worried about a relegation dogfight, third place, and job done for the year, probably.
Yeah, a bit of controversy in this one, Kevin. Apparently, Newport are adamant that Silver Mines player got two yellow cards and never left the pitch. So I heard Oisín Murphy, I think, he played a good 10 or 15 minutes extra, I think, after getting the second yellow. But the referee never flashed the red.
Oh, so geez.
So he played on. Now I'm hearing murmurings that Newport are thinking of lodging an appeal. Now I don't know.
That's Seamus Delaney, the ref, I think. Isn't he be solid enough usually?
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly who ref it now. I have it here in front of me. Yeah, it was Seamus Delaney.
Yeah, I heard it instantly happen, but I didn't hear that, so it was. Jeez.
Yeah, no, I don't know what the rule is around that now. Are they entitled to a replay if that's proven? Was that streamed? I don't think it was, so.
It wasn't, but you know, they probably taped it themselves.
So I don't know.
The other thing is that I noticed that they're after tweeting the intermediate relegation semis, but they're not after tweeting the Premier Intermediate, unless I'm wrong on that. So you could well be onto something there, Enda. So that's something that we will monitor anyway. The plot thickens. Yeah. Perhaps.
But it'd be the same way the team have an extra player in the field for a sub, wouldn't it? I've seen them be no returned. Say if you bring on a player, a player doesn't go off as evidence that they're 16 in the field.
Yeah. I mean, look at the All-Ireland football club final. You know, and that was for one play.
Tim Floyd involved with the Newport management, so he'll know. You know exactly how to approach
section 16A point 1 _ 17 section 5.
I just, well, if that wasn't videoed, they have no chance. But if it was,
I'm sure every team worth their salt is videoing matches now, aren't they?
But you need the permission, otherwise you can't use it. And you need the permission to be granted, otherwise you can't use it in the disciplinary. But anyway,
without excusing the referee's incompetence there, if that's what's happened, that's the other team. Any player that's ever been on a yellow card against us and was about to receive a second yellow card, I've always known he was on a first. He was on the first one, you know, and I think if a player's are tuned into the game and they're sharp, they know who's on the yellow card, because no matter what people say and no matter what bravado, when someone else gets a yellow card, they want him gone after, you know, they want him off the field. And for Newport not to be kicking up a stink when that yellow card was given, they should have brought that to the attention of the referee straight away. Now, they probably did, and he probably didn't know what he was. But
the two linesmen there as well. Like, so there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of ways.
Sorry, lads. I was actually wrong. He got the second yellow apparently before half time. So he played the whole match.
That's a whole match, lads. Yeah. We played Killinall years ago, lads, and they made a substitution, and your man walked off the field, the slowest walk of ever, and it drove us bananas because we wanted him off the field even though he had nothing to do with it. How Newport let that slide? Does someone not focusing somewhere there, like, you know what I mean? And as bad
did
as
someone not know if it's on yellow, especially in the first half, you know who's on yellow. Like, he was, I'd be like, wait, he's on yellow, ref, send him off.
Actually,
you
know, I was probably the latter days of my junior B career, I was got two yellows from a referee that might be over Hawkeye now in Crow Park, and it was never sent off. So, But we lost anyway, so there was no, definitely no appeals. It does happen, but
just that could have serious repercussions now if there is video evidence there.
You obviously want to stand to know Kevin saw it for them to notice.
Yeah, Jesus.
Hey, if that does happen, at least it's not the South that's holding it up anyway.
It's not a South referee as well, so we're in the clear now. We can never see on this. Stephen, don't intermediate. We'll give you a little stay of execution there for, but the relegation here, you have Tracy's. Well, Jesus, we'll probably have Newport. I suppose we don't know in the Mary's group as well, and we've Port Rose, so probably too much variables there to discuss that much. There, you won't want to draw Port Rose on that. Like they're hitting good scores there. But Stephen, onto yourselves. Davin's great position going into the weekend. Yeah. Handy enough group. Just turn up against Kickham's, Knockavilla. And I looked at Twitter and you were like 12 points down at halftime or something.
I'm having a Wi-Fi issue here tonight. I was going to take the night off, but I said, no, I better face the music. The fuck. it was a complete and utter meltdown on our own part. We never turned up for it. I think the talk when the relegation talk crept back in there after our avail about Knockavilla in round two, I think it maybe took the focus off our third game, and probably, I suppose, we're in relegation battles the last few years. I suppose when it was made clear that we're okay, I think subconsciously we settled. You know, I'm not taking that from Knockavilla Kickhams either. They were up for it. They had a lot on the line at the weekend, and you could see they were mad for it. And they won all the battles, they won all the 50-50s, and they initiated all the aggression, and they thoroughly deserved every point of their victory. Someone gave the numbers. It was probably our worst game this year. And unfortunately for us, we left it for the most important game of the year. But look, Knockavilla deserved it. They raced out of the blocks, and from my own part, I'm playing in goal, and I fucking dropped a big dirty high ball that came in under the crossbar. I went up with the hand, bounced out with the hand, straight out to the edge of the square, dived out, thought I'd get it, your man pulled on it, back in the net. But we responded well after that, and we got a goal as well ourselves, and we probably had two or three goal chances really early in the game, and when they didn't come off, it felt like last year when Tip played Cork, when we hit the butt of the post, it felt like because it hit the post, the air was just left out of our sails. And then just Knockavilla took over, won absolutely every scrap all over the field. And, you know, they did what they had to do, and they're gone through now. And we're sitting at home, not even and September, you know. And
you're it's fairly depressing. You're building. And Drummond Inch win that group, Knockavilla go through in second. Just to kind of move it on, I'm on the Tip GA website here. Kappa White, who are flying it and will hardly be beaten for this championship anyway, I think. But
no way.
Yeah, we're all agreed on that anyway. You know, I think they're 5-5 now at this stage.
What a team.
Yeah, what a team. Great management there as well. They're still at Ballingarry in second place on the Tip GA website, so we're all reliably apparent it's actually golden or true here again.
It's the same in the senior groups, not on with Holy Cross. I think they've temporary relegation instead of up first.
Yeah, so look, when this new scoring thing, I don't know about you, but it was in the Clare Championship on the Friday night where it came up first or whatever, and then someone just said, oh, you know, this is all over now as well. So again, a lot of secretaries had to do a few calculations there, and maybe teams that thought that they were definitely in relegation, maybe, or Temple Derry's had a nice way out of it as well, or maybe they knew all along, I don't know. But look, that was a very, very tight group. Golden, I think, are true on points scored overall. Yeah. A late goal against Ballingarry kind of seals it. So whether they knew that and they were going for the goal, or whether, you know, that's a big turnaround for them.
They needed a 3-point plus win,
and they got it.
Yeah, real, because they were terrible in their first two games.
It's tough going for Ballingarry now with the big outlay and the big managers. You know, Ballingarry would have felt they would have been going back up fairly quick after coming down. And I spoke about it earlier about the complacency. So I seen when you come down, you think it might you get in your head, my head that you're going to go straight back up fairly quick and to the dogfight. And you know, this is what their third year down now, and no real inroads made up the county. And you know,
You know, look.
it's a tough time for. I
Yeah, the
know
good
the score
underage is coming
difference.
are decent, you know. So, but
This
it
year, I thought
doesn't.
we at the start of the year we were kind of saying that group and Gary one going out, but like you know, so
They were my dark horses for the
yeah.
championship.
Yeah, I thought they would. I thought they'd have their act together. Like, but look, again, it's not saying they didn't have their act together. That was the reason they didn't get through it. Like, it's just, it's a dogfight. The whole grade is a dogfight, and you know, and I suppose that's what makes the whole thing so exciting.
But look,
Goal and get through by the skin of their teeth.
like
Golden
one
wouldn't be
win
the one
gets
of the
it through,
stronger
like
teams, is
you
it?
know, it's mad like in that group. One win gets through, like you know, how
Yeah.
tight it is, like a one win out of three, like so.
But Goal, you
Like,
know, that's what happens, Sean, when Cap White are so strong, beating all in sight.
like they should be just playing without Cap White in that division till the final, like in the county.
Exactly, yeah. Have like a.
Limerick success is rubbing off on them there.
We'll all be
Anyway.
theft now.
So, like, the favourites to face Cap White in the final, I suppose, will probably come out of the next group, which is Borland win the group. Moneygall in second. Kilsheelan, this group isn't complete, actually, looking at it now. Shannon Rovers, I think, are destined for relegation anyway. Yeah, so, geez, I'm just saying, whoever wins between Moneygall and Kilsheelan will get the quarter final there, is the only thing that's yet to be decided.
Yeah, Shannon relegation against
Shannon
Killanga.
relegation anyway on the head to head. So straight that Kilsheelan game will be played Tuesday or Wednesday next week. I think the fixture's out there. And we'll go on to the last group. That brings it up, and we have a few readers' questions then. Skithie na Rinkie are second in this one. Ballybacon Grange, third place. Well done to them. Another year. Up Intermediate, Upper Church in the relegation here in Barsacane. 3 from 3, 6 points. So again, Skithie probably turning around a poor start to the year. Bit of a hammering off Ballingarry. Maybe that gave Ballingarry kind of false pretenses where they were. Skeheen have been now been drawn in the preliminary quarter final, I think, as well.
Yeah, they
If
really
I
got the short straw there, didn't they?
Jeez,
Yeah.
yeah, so that'll be so that's Kilsheelan or Borland, is it, or no, sorry, it's
It's one of the three. You can cheat and borrow that money, God. So three of the favourites really in the one group. And Skeen are going to be playing one of them.
Yeah,
The
and
one
then
up,
it'll
isn't
be
it?
Moneygall. I think Borland win that group anyway, but that could
Depends on
win.
scoring difference as well.
Yeah, you're
Obviously, it
right.
looks confusing, but it's a lot easier just with the score difference with the four teams involved. But
Look,
I
doesn't
think.
matter. They made the last weekend extra exciting anyway. And they've done the relegation for this as well. So again, Shannon Rovers, who were probably a bit luckless. And is their luck going to change here now, getting Kildangan? Kildangan are just relegated from second
Premier
Premier
League.
Intermediate, so probably not
Yeah.
would be the answer there. And Upper Church versus Aravale, again, with no offense, but they both, you know, they're both delighted they've drawn each other. It's probably definitely the softer of the two semi-finals there.
100% of Shannon Rovers, probably a good draw for them, really. It might give them an extra bit of motivation there near neighbours, and there'll be a lot of intermarrying and you know relationships between the two clubs, so they'll be familiar with each other, and maybe there'll be a bit of a rivalry there. So I know George Hannigan's playing for Shannon Rovers, and he's a selector with the Kildangan first team, so there'll be a he'd be seeing them boys regularly training every week, so it'd be an interesting dynamic there. But it might bring the best out of them because they're. And fairness to them, they were in a tough group. They were in that group through you, Borland, Moneygall, and Kilsheelan, and they had a crack at a couple of the matches, but they're very light on numbers, Shannon Rovers. Didn't have a second team this year. Two of 23 or 4 players. So, you know, they're struggling big time, but they'll be hoping that they can just stay up intermediate until they can hopefully bring a few younger players through. But Upper Church are looking like the favourites there, you'd have to say, to go down. Surely Aravale would have a bit of a kick in them.
Yeah, really, at least they put up a few decent scores anyway if they're conceding at the other end.
It's always hard here. You go up, you're kind of here. You go up, you're trying to, if you can stay up here too, that's the kind of thing with Upchurch. You know, they're going to get a bit settled in, but when they're back in relegation, it's hard
Aravale
trying
have
to go
probably
back down.
bounced around a bit as well, haven't they? You know,
Yeah.
from junior to. Right, lads, readers, listeners' questions even. Enda, one for you first off. Yeah. Who will win the North 19s?
Semi-finals on tomorrow, Wednesday night. Ourselves and Nina and Ballina and Bursley. There's only a 5-team group in the A this year, so Ross Gray got knocked out. Probably between ourselves, Nina and Ballina be strongest at that grade. Bursley, they probably won't beat Ballina, so I'd fancy our 19s actually win it. Darren McCarthy's playing savage stuff for our first team, and we have a good little group of players there. Strong 17 team as well. I'd fancy ourselves without being biased, but Nina will be a tough nut to crack. We have to play them in Nina, but I'd say ourselves or Ballina maybe to win it.
Sean, I'll ask the same questions for the mid.
Yeah, the mid is wide open. Tis ourselves in it with Drome and Holy Cross in a bracket. So like the two semi-finals that we're playing on Thursday night there against Drome. It's on their own field, so it is. So like hopefully we'll come to that. Drome gives a walkover in the group stages, so they conceded the game there. Drome having actually, it's a quarter final playing Drome in Sarri. We finished third. Drome gives a walkover. Drome actually played two games in the mid, and they're sure to get three walkovers. So hopefully we can get over them. But yet we haven't seen Drome to know what kind of they are. So we're playing them on Thursday night. So there, and the other quarter final then will be to be the other place team in Carrick. You're playing Borland then in the other quarter final. That's tomorrow night. So and then Holy Cross Brackens have topped. So like on all kind of form, it'll probably be Holy Cross Brackens ourselves, and then Borland McCarrick could go anyway. But I fancy McCarthy, but they're the team that are scoring all right. I think they've
the Holy Cross, they're in a bit of a sweet spot.
They're a top team, yeah, but they'll always give the game. So the semi-finals will be the interestingness. I couldn't pick a winner of the mid-finals on the 14-19.
Stephen, the South, it's a final of St. Mary's and Swan. St. Mary's over Ken Kilchin and after extra time. This one's going to be held up a bit now, I'm just thinking, because you know, Mary's out kind of Wednesday week. And games on the weekend, obviously both teams in, or Swan in a quarter final. So God only knows when this one will be played. But
I heard today is Sunday week. Would that make sense?
No, because if Mary's win their preliminary quarter final, if they first get into preliminary quarter final, would they not be playing Sunday week against Curtin Hood? It's ifs and buts there now in the fixtures. Yeah.
Look at it. Hey, these two, they must know each other so well. These two teams, you know, all the way up along. But as I mentioned earlier, you have young Halloran back now. He's out of the boot, so he'll be raring to go for it. And he'll obviously be a huge plus for this one on the 19s. Yeah. Like, he's going to be a plus for their senior team, so he's going to be a huge plus for their on the 19 team. And I suppose if there's one team who won't mind that game being delayed, it'll be this one, because the longer it's delayed, the fitter he'll get, and you know that could be the difference in the match. So,
look, is the West over? Am I right there or?
West were played last week. Yeah, Cashel won. They beat Golden in the final by 3 points, 3-11 to 17. So Cashel will be
You have to love the West. They always get their business done in such a orderly fashion.
Very efficient.
Another one from the North for you, Enda. Sam O'Farrell, overhyped, question mark. Jeez, that's a bit unfair.
No, I like Sam O'Farrell. I think he's a right player and he's a good attitude to go with it. I think, yeah, in a few years he could be, well, dependent on going well with the tip under-20s, he'll surely be in with the under-20s this year coming. So he's got all the tools to be a very good senior hurler if he stays at it.
I'll fire another one at you there. And any Ross Gray players, apart from Tynan, worth a call from Cal? So this is some young Ross Gray, young lad here, hoping that you mentioned his name now.
I wouldn't say so. No, they're a fairly even team. Other than Tynan, they wouldn't really have a real standout player. I was impressed with Dan Ryan, their wing back, the last day. He's been good all year, in fairness to him, but not up to standard maybe at Intercounty. But they're just a fairly even team, other than Tynan himself. Fairly even spread of players, probably no one else really.
Sean, I'll go for one for you. Do you think, I won't give you that one. I'll give that one to Stephen after. Who will be the final four in the senior hurling? Again, a lot depends on the draw there, because you might get two of your teams in the quarterfinal.
Yeah. Depends on the draw, like Langan. I suppose we are going to give ourselves a nod, Turles. After that, it's a draw, like, depends on the draw. Like, it's impossible, like, Tuivasa could be there. Lochmore. It's a draw, it's impossible to know what a draw, like, it's until we kind of see the full quarterfinal draw, I call it, but.
Yeah, to be Langan easier to answer that question now.
Yeah, once you see that's fair enough. We call
it. And just on 19, actually, I see Portland had a big win tonight in the quarterfinal. That was actually on tonight. They bet McCarthy, won 16 to 12 points. That's a massive win for Portland in the under 19 quarterfinal because they bet him in the group stages. But I thought McCarthy would overturn that, but they didn't tonight. So that's a big win for Portland in 19. Yeah, like.
Stephen, last one for you. Do you think there's another year of Bonner in the tip squad on his current club form? So Laura flying, we didn't talk much about him this week because they had a dead rubber game, but your thoughts on Bonner Maher?
Yeah, I wouldn't be pushing him out the door. If he retires, he'd be well entitled to. Does he still have something to offer Tipperary? I think he does. You know, a lad, when we talk about those, does a lad have something to offer Tipperary, he doesn't necessarily have to be an automatic starter. You know, his experience around the setup, his experience and his leadership in training, you know, his attitude in training, what the young lads could be looking at, how a proper seasoned pro, let's call him, applies himself in training. I wouldn't be pushing him out the door if I was Liam Cahill. If he made a decision himself, you know, you respect it. But if I was Liam Cahill, I'd be saying to him, look, we go again for another year.
Well, you agree there. See, if you're not nodding heads, so I'll take that as agreement. I suppose Bonner's earned the right to call it when he wants to see it, I suppose, at this stage.
Yeah. Well, I agree with everything Stephen's saying there, yeah. Savage trainer.
Yeah.
Brings a good attitude.
Yeah, no problem. Like, what we saw this year and by doing a club level, it's not like he's shying away in club. He's still there, running fitness-wise. He's has it, like, so.
A weekend of the big ball this week, lads.
Goodness. Yeah.
We're out to make it three from three. Fairness now, if you're not, you must be enjoying this championship now. So settle your nerves before the preliminary quarterfinals, before the knockout hurling starts. But yeah, the football is definitely having its moments this year as well. There's plenty of storylines there as well, with maybe a few surprise results thrown in. And full time at the football, Sean might cause another shock or two.
They will, yeah. And with be that with hurling as well, they could drive on here. Like, you know, the football is like, there's probably one or two teams maybe ahead, but the rest is wide open. See the results there. And even ourselves, intermediate, we're playing Golden there on Sunday, I think it's 3:30. That'll give us 3 from 3, hopefully. But our group in that is actually interesting. It could end up being no one knows who actually goes into relegation because the Lochmore and Bracken's fiasco could go on to. Why do we make up this room? We drew up these 6 groups when you only play 3 teams. Last night, I just looked up the table, like, I'm like, geez, what's going on here? Like,
whose idea was that? We'll have a 6-team group, but we won't all play each other for the crack. We'll just play 3.
The score difference can't be used. So, let's say, count of order, hope and results don't go away. So, they'll be trying to toss clean or I don't know.
Especially in the year that they decide to relegate about 20 teams as well. So,
yeah.
Could
be interesting.
But anyway, then my Rovers decide to nearly have a year off, and so look, I think actually the score difference change, I think it really helps them in there. I think Anthony Shelley on the preview last week was saying he didn't see him getting through, but I think maybe just any kind of win will do it for him this week. But again, plenty of stories to watch there this week, and don't quote me on that maybe as well, the way these scorelines have to be worked out. But thanks a million, lads. Sure, look, we'll report back again once there's a bit more hurling played in that. We'll see how the club scene takes shape.
Sound, boys.
You got a nice one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.